Reach the island.
T-minus 5 seconds to critical mass.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
Hello again, welcome to another edition of your PDGA Radio News. This for July 22nd, 2010. I'm your host, Steve Kaczynski, and on this week's episode, we'll bring you back up to date with the tournament results from last week's disc golf action all throughout the world, including the Scandinavian Open, where a trio of top American pros were competing against Europe's best in a PDGA major. We'll also look ahead at the upcoming schedule, which includes the Professional World Championships. They're starting this next week in Northwest Indiana. Also cover the rest of the past week's disc golf news, such as your ratings update, National Tour standings update, and several new disc golf courses that could soon be available for your play. Those stories and much more ahead on the one and only PDGA Radio News. Starting things off this week, our results from Europe's PDGA major event that took place this last weekend in Skellefteå, Sweden, with the Scandinavian Open. And there, Dave Fellberg eagled the opening hole of his final round and then birdied the next three holes en route to a 10-under par 56 and a 6-throw victory over Nico LeCastro, who also shot a 56 in the final round to get the second place, 2 throws ahead of Cale LaViska. That makes it an All-American podium, with Jesper Lundmark settling for 4th place in his hometown. Those four representing Innova Champion, Gateway, Discraft, and Latitude 64 all put on quite a show for the spectators, who applauded all their efforts from start to finish. And between those four, they birdied or eagled every hole of the final round, except for the 18th. Over in the ladies' division, we'll find Birgitta Lagerholm winning by 7 over fellow Swede Karen Magenholt, with Melody King and Angelica France tying for 3rd. Robert Buzazi bested Dan Johansson by 5 in the Masters division. Elsewhere from around the PDGA calendar covering sanctioned tournaments between July 17th and 18th, we'll find just one A-tier taking place. It was in Lansing, Michigan for their CCR Open, in which Paul Ulibarri comes from Arizona and takes the win by 6 over a trio of Michiganders who tied for 2nd place. They were Mike Henry, Jamie Mosier, and Jimmy Bates. Aaron Oakley edged out Sarah DeMar there in the women's field, and Dean Tanak won in Masters by 1 throw over Darren Harper. For the amateurs, John Kind won in advanced over Dave Molesky, Kevin Baldwin won in intermediate, and Michael Sizemore takes the recreational division. Moving on to the B-tiers, last weekend we'll begin in South Carolina for their state championships. It was won by Michael Johansson by 1 throw over Blaine Kinkle. Chris Sprague wins the Iowa State Championships. Chauncey Donaldson won the Denver Classic in Colorado by 5 throws over Joe Revere. Jeff Bennett wins the Beechwood Classic in New York. Eric McCabe wins in Kansas over Ron Convers and George Smith. Sean Gough wins in North Carolina. Devin Owens won in Texas. Jason Thompson wins in Kentucky. Chris Heron wins in Illinois. Kyle Crabtree wins in Washington. Adam Hunt in Oklahoma at the Riverside Glide. Jeff Face wins in California. And Nate Kron wins in New Jersey at the Jersey Jam. Not quite done yet. Looking at some of the C-tier results quickly, we'll find Bobby Lauritsen winning the Minnesota State Championships. Barry Schultz and Scott Bertard get wins in Wisconsin. Blair Bowes and Clayton Drake win in Kentucky. Jared Pittman wins the Sioux Falls Open. Nolan Greider, Matt Hall, and David Hemmeline all earn wins throughout Texas. Justin Madore won in Pennsylvania. Tyler Lemke in Virginia. Dion Arlen for Oregon. And Derek Robbins wins internationally in the United Kingdom. And finally, Michael Stonestreet wins a playoff over Trevor Smith. That in Ohio. Now looking ahead at the upcoming PDGA tournament schedule for the weekend of July 24th and 25th, we'll find a somewhat lighter than usual schedule as disc golfers prepare for next week's Pro Worlds in Indiana. But if you're either looking for a last-minute warm-up event before you head to Worlds, or just your typical weekend tournament event, there are some very good options throughout this ever-expanding disc golf galaxy, including B-tiers with the Illinois State Championships. The Greater Hartford Open is in Connecticut, along with other stops of the tour in Fort Wayne, Indiana, Seattle, Maryland, Kentucky, Texas, Colorado, Ohio, Michigan, and Iowa. C tiers are scheduled for Idaho, Tennessee, Michigan, North Carolina, Kansas, and two of them in Wisconsin. International events can be found in Denmark, Sweden, Japan, Ontario, Canada, and Estonia. Those all leading up to the 2010 PDGA Professional World Championships, taking place next week in Crown Point, Indiana, at the Lemon Lake Disc Golf Courses. Mixed doubles competitions actually starting and taking place this Sunday. Singles play will begin this next Tuesday and continue through Saturday's final round. You can keep up to date with all the action from PDGA.com with live scoring, photos, video updates, and much more.
Located on the scenic shores of Clark's Hill Lake in Columbia County, Georgia, is the Mecca of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center, a must-see for anyone who's ever played the sport. With a full-service pro shop, state-of-the-art training center, and championship-caliber courses, it will challenge and improve every aspect of your game. Also, visit the Ed Hedrick Memorial Museum, home of the Disc Golf Hall of Fame, and don't forget about the IDGC monthly tournaments the first Saturday of every month. Yes, it's all at the world's premier destination for the sport of disc golf, the PDGA International Disc Golf Center.
Welcome back here to PDGA Radio News, this again for July 22nd, 2010. And as the month of July moves through the calendar quickly, the Woodchuck Cider Drive for the Championship is gaining in intrigue, as the top players have been jockeying for position on the PDGA National Tour through the first seven events of the season. But the next stop on the drive is the World Championships, where players in the hunt do not have the option to swap it out for better showing. The World Championships, along with the men's and women's U.S. Championships, are events that automatically become part of the final points calculation, so there is little room for error. So who are the top players this year competing for the Woodchuck Cider Drive for the championship and its bonus prizes? Well, first, David Fellberg, again making a solid return to his world number one form this year after a rigorous touring schedule. Feldberg's three national tour titles and a third-place finish have catapulted him to the top of the Woodchuck points chase so far. And he will be carrying some great momentum with him after a win at the Scandinavian Open this past weekend. And while most are enjoying some of the epic battles between Feldberg and last year's Player of the Year, Nico LoCastro, it's actually the champ, Ken Climo, who's quietly parked himself into the second slot in the season-long points chase on the strength of two National Tour wins so far. Climo is no stranger to being on top, of course, with 12 World Championships and a season points crown, all part of his illustrious career. LoCastro actually finds himself in fourth place overall behind Nate Doss, who capitalized on his win in Columbus at the Brent Hamburg Memorial Open to move into that third spot. And now for the ladies, we'll see Valerie Jenkins, who has already accumulated her maximum 400 points from the National Tour portion of the Woodchuck Cider Drive for the championship. So a win next week at the Worlds, which would be Jenkins' fourth consecutive world title, would almost certainly lock up the season title for Jenkins. However, Liz Carr has two NT titles this year, keeping her within striking distance of Jenkins. A win in Indiana would certainly add some drama to whether the Michigan native could mount a late charge over the final National Tour events and the U.S. Women's Championships, closing the gap. Liz Lopez also in the picture, along with Des Redding, who has three World Championships on her resume. The next National Tour stop will be the Vibram Open at Maple Hill in mid-August. That's in Massachusetts, followed by the ninth and final National Tour stop this year. It's at the end of August for the Skylands Classic in northern Pennsylvania. For complete coverage of the Woodchuck Cider Drive for the championship standings, just make sure to visit pdga.com/national tour. Well, the PDGA also released an update to their player ratings this past week. It shows Dave Fellberg still with the highest rating in the world, now at 1,043. Nico LoCastro second with a 1,040. And then it's Ken Climo and Daryl Nodland, tied at 1,037, ahead of a pair of Swedes at 1,035, with Jesper Lundmark and Marcus Karlström taking those spots, leading a total of 165 pros worldwide with a player rating of at least 1,000 and who are also current PDGA members. Two amateurs also listed over 1,000, Oregon's Christopher Becker at 1,001, and newly crowned amateur world champion and newly turned professional disc golfer David Wiggins Jr. at a 1,005. Valerie Jenkins tops the women's list at 963, ahead of Sarah Stanhope at 957, and Des Redding in at a 950. Now, a record-breaking story out of Texas, where 41-year-old Donovan Baker appears to have a new world record for the total number of disc golf holes played in a 24-hour period. Comes in with an astonishing 1,002 holes played at the Tommy and Sue Brown Park. It was a six-hole course in North Richland Hills, Texas, and despite 100-degree heat, along with an hour rain delay he was under and numerous blisters on his feet, Baker did it on June 24th. His complete story can be found from PDGA.com. However, some stats from his day include an estimated 45 miles walked using 3,063 throws and just 14 penalty strokes to finish the 1,002 holes at a combined 71 over par. Check out his full story again from PDGA.com. Also, a reminder that if you have not already done so and are a PDGA member, please check your email and make sure you vote in this year's annual election. The voting is available online until the end of this month of July. Candidate statements are also available from PDGA.com.
Are you a PDGA member? Do you know what that is, of being a PDGA member? Well, let's run down the list of just some of the weapons available only to members of the Professional Disc Golf Association.
Hey, thanks, Billy. Some of those benefits include a free subscription to Disc Golfer Magazine, discounted tournament entry fees, official player ratings, discount with Enterprise Rent-A-Car, a vote in the annual elections, discounts at Wyndham Hotels, including Days Inn, Super 8, Howard Johnson, and Travelodge. Also a collectible members-only golf disc and a free membership to Disc Golf United.
Yes, all this and more can be yours just by becoming a member of the PDGA today. For more information on how you and your family can become members of the Professional Disc Golf Association and help support disc golf, visit PDGA.com.
And welcome back again to PDGA Radio News for July 22nd, 2010, where we now head to Billings, Montana. A story reported there by KURL-TV. And there, members of a grassroots effort to save disc golf have only a few days before the Billings City Council will decide their fate this next Monday. That after the council previously had agreed to reconsider a previous vote that would have removed the course. Now, people on both sides of the issue say that compromise seems to be the key. Jim Rott, the founder of Air Fairways, said he had been trying for more than a decade to bring the Billings disc golf community together. Now, the no vote for disc golf last month was probably the single biggest energizing factor that did bring the area's disc golfers together finally as a cohesive unit. Rott said since the vote, they are now currently in the process of forming a nonprofit organization that will propose to the council that they adopt a plan making the current course in Pioneer Park reduced down from 12 to 9 holes and closing a portion of the year for winterization, allowing grass and trees to also grow back. The plan calls also for the development of more disc golf courses throughout the city, all in hopes of keeping the course. Councilmember Rugemer said one of the locations could be at Colson Park, located along the Yellowstone River. It's got more than 40 acres of usable space. However, in order for it to be an adequate disc golf course, crews would have to plant grass and trees. Rugemer, though, said Colson Park needs to be developed. They can build terrain, do whatever they want out there, and it would be an improvement to the park and to the city. But before a new course can be built, both sides of the issue must also come together and decide if the existing one can stay. Next, we move to Iowa from the Lamar's Daily Sentinel, where a bigger, better disc golf course had always been a dream of Lamar's resident Ben Sitzman after he had gotten hooked on the sport in college. But after making no headway on the idea, he had all but given up, not knowing where to start, he said. That was until he read a news article about plans to renovate West Floyd Park in Lamar's. One member of the Parks Committee there was quoted suggesting adding a new disc golf course, saying it would be a good idea. Sitzman said the next day he called her up and told her it was a good idea. And soon after, he was out scouting the area near the Floyd River and drawing up sketches of a new course. Right now, it's just a pencil drawing on paper and flags in the ground, but they say it could be reality by the end of the summer. Currently, Lamar's has a 9-hole course in Municipal Park. Those 9 baskets would be relocated to the new site, along with 9 others that the city has in storage. Sitzman estimates the overall cost is only going to be about $3,500, since the city already owns the baskets. All that's left is cement for the tees and putting up some signs. Plans are also in the works for a streetlight, park benches, and trash cans for the course, which the city will maintain with some assistance from the local disc golf club Sitzman is also organizing. Sitzman, who attended college in Cedar Rapids, said eastern Iowa is full of disc golf courses, but northwest Iowa doesn't have much for disc golf. The planned Lamar's disc golf course will have the most holes of any within 60 miles. However, 9-hole courses do exist nearby in Sioux City, Alton, and Cherokee. Finally, we head to Colorado from the Summit Daily News, where after a 4-year hiatus, disc golf may soon be revived at Copper Mountain. The resort and the U.S. Forest Service are currently examining the potential for a new disc golf course, with only one other disc golf course currently inside Summit County. Copper used to feature disc golf as one of its summer activities, but resort officials decided not to reopen the course in 2007, citing environmental concerns like erosion and soil compaction. Much of the former Copper course covered moderately steep terrain and was known for being more aerobically challenging than other courses in the area. The resort is working this summer to identify a potential course configuration that would minimize environmental impact. And although a new course is not assured, resort spokesman David Ross said that if the resort does move forward on one, it would be open in 2011 at the earliest. According to the Forest Service, the proposed new course would be just above the golf course on Skid Road and Collage Trails, and no tree removal would be needed. A decision on the course is likely to happen in mid-August, following the required public comment period. And that will wrap things up for this week's edition of PDGA Radio News. Thanks for joining me. It was for July 22nd, 2010. Join us again next week for an update from the PDGA Professional World Championships, along with the rest of your disc golf news from this ever-expanding disc golf galaxy. Until then, I'm Steve Kaczynski, wishing everyone the safest of travels and the happiest of disc golf adventures.
Thanks for listening to PDGA Radio, your weekly source for disc golf news and information. Your story ideas, comments, and feedback about the program is always welcome. You can email us at pdgaradio@pdga.com. Sponsorship partners and advertising opportunities are also available with PDGA Radio. Please contact the PDGA office for more details. And again, thanks for listening to PDGA Radio.
Goodbye.